Welcome to Mirth, Magic, and Mayhem, the AARPG's new actual play series using the Dragonbane RPG by Free League Publishing. I'm Nathan, your host, co-GM, and I'll also be playing Brains, the idiot Wolfkin thief. Let's meet my friends and fellow cast members.
I'm Malcolm, your co-GM, and I'll also be playing Corinne Rinesmith, the judgy halfling bard.
Hi, I'm Tyr, and I'll be playing Dane Ringson, a human scatterbrain scholar.
I'm Chris, and I'm playing Sigyn, elfin huntress.
Hey all, this is Anthony, and I play Kurgan, and he wants to remind you,
you should go and get stuffed.
Hello everyone, this is Sean. I will be playing Baylor Banefire, Dwarf Artisan Specialist.
I'm Tim, AARPG's latest temporary Double Seeker probationary player. I play Quiverwing, the enchanting mallard whose spellbinding plumage shivers like distant lightning on a moonlit night.
Together, we'll explore ancient secrets of a long-forgotten empire, facing challenges and forging our destiny in a world where every castle, cave, and crypt holds the echoes of a bygone era. Get ready for an epic journey filled with laughter, suspense, and unforgettable moments in the Misty Vale.
Hello, and welcome to the Advanced Age World Beginners Podcast. Why are you talking, Chris? Everybody
one
fucking talks during the fucking intros.
Let's try it one more time.
Hello. You know what? Make Chris do the intro since Chris interrupted.
Hello and welcome to the Advanced Age Roleplay Gamers Podcast. I'm Nathan. I'm your host.
Hey, in my defense, that was audio glitching in my stream. I went down to just me and Nathan.
Tonight's our special ASMR episode.
I have nothing. Oh.
Tonight on Advanced Aged ASMR.
We have several ASMR episodes, actually. but tonight, we're actually going to cut the ASMR short, and we're going to play some Dragonbane. And what episode is it, everyone? Is it?
Episode, I think it's actually 94.
14.
16.
I think we're starting to get – we're addicted to this game at this point, I think. I remember. I mean, this was supposed to be like a four-game arc, wasn't it?
Nathan skipped episode 13, so
– yeah, no.
Yeah, this that was the Alien game. The Alien game was supposed to be like four or five episodes.
But, yeah.
This was promised, not, but thank you for the vote of confidence.
I was promised fewer episodes. That's all I'm saying.
So, I mean, is this going to go on for another 20 episodes or what?
Don't worry. We can make it fewer for you tonight.
But yeah, we need four pieces of a statue, and then we need to take that and find this sword, and then we have to do something else. So, and we have one piece of the statue. So yeah, we're doing real well. Like Matt's gonna be like come back and he's gonna have to make a character. I'm gonna hand things over to Malcolm to kill us pretty quickly here.
I am kind of missing one of my victims, but we'll proceed. So, when we last left our intrepid adventurers, they were deep in the dark cave looking for the Oracle, who was supposed to reveal both hidden mysteries and possibly the whereabouts of a certain little boy who was taken by bandits. And also, well, in addition, they're really hoping that maybe she could lead them to another piece of the statue at that
piece.
Open up doors and further adventures.
Oh, yeah.
So that said, we find Brain, who is currently still freezing after falling into the ice-cold river, but nearly not, but luckily not being pulled away to his death, trying to get warm. Not too far from him is Balor, Banefire, who is currently very angry and having very frustrated with trying to fit into the small crevices, or at least that's what he calls them, but smaller caves that went north and south from the main cave line, the passages. In the passages, there's currently Osigi at Corgan and following up further behind was Dane. Siggy and Kogan had found a chamber at the end of one of these narrow passages which expanded greatly, and Siggy lit a light, therefore illuminating the situation. The chamber itself was covered with a gossamer sheen of spiderwebs on every wall, floor, and ceiling. And for a second, she would have swore she saw movement underneath the webs. And sure enough, as the light quickly faded from the spark of her flint and steel, she heard the chittering and crawling of thousands of legs, a subtle flash of small glowing eyes, beginning to fill every part of the chamber. And, of course, they began to try and flee down the squeezing room passage back to the main party. Meanwhile, having had a very interesting day with meeting the bearding woman in the small hovel of Weaver's Hollow, Quivering and Corinne have found the Oracle's cave, thanks to the miserable beast, who will not go in the cave, but that seems sufficient, considering it doesn't really, he's been very gaseous as of late. The rooting woman did give you 5 bottles of what she calls an antidote. Should you encounter a dangerous fungus, it will stop the poison from killing you immediately.
Okay, thank you. That's really kind of you.
Well, it wasn't really for free. You ended up having to let her copy one of your minor tricks out of your grimoire for them.
Okay.
But
I hate you.
And so you and Corinne descend to the cave with the light of her lantern, looking for the rest of the party. And hopefully finding this mysterious oracle, who the bearding woman said she may not be what you expect, but she knows and is older than the hills themselves.
Okay. So I'm sorry, who is with me? Is it just
Corinne.
Corinne, okay. Well, let's give this a shot. Let's go take a look.
Well, I think it's a terrible idea, but all right. And so you guys head down into the cave.
On the map that you showed, the entrance is in the lower left-hand portion?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. Right. Yes. And you're moving along the passage. And the cheery, bright light of the lanterns moving through. You do see a small, but low stone table covered with various wooden plates and offerings of fruit and sometimes meats in various states of either decomposition or consumption. You believe them to be offerings, as the wooding woman said. They were given to the oracle, but usually those are only prepared during, just before a growing season or harvesting season to give them projections for the next year, is what they ask her for. It's a small town, so Weaver Hollow doesn't have much need for grand oracle revelations, other than, how will the weather be in the next 4 months? Should I plant this? That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Important stuff.
Yeah, important stuff. So that's what it looks like, and you can pass by it.
Okay.
But as your easygoing journey into darkness proceeds, let us go back to those who are trapped.
I will use just for purpose of the game, as we go into the deep dark cave, because you made a mention, you intentionally told me it was a deep dark cave, I am casting light on something so that we have that for our visibility. Because I know while I can see in low light, Corinne cannot.
That's correct. She usually has to use a lantern or something.
Right. So this is my way of helping out my buddy Corinne.
Well, she's thrilled about that. That way she can throw a lantern away and take out her lyre, which takes both of her hands to play.
Okay.
She doesn't play it, though. She's like, I'll wait till it's, appropriate. Unless you really do want some walking music.
Sure. Let's have some walking music.
All right. She'll start a little walking tune.
No doubt the music will scare away any creepy crawlies.
Of course. Speaking of creepy crawlies. Oh, guardian of the night sky. You hear the thousands of creeping feet swiftly catching up to you as you try and hold your breath and slip through the rocks back to the central cave. In front of you, there's Corgan, who is trying to do the same. though he's not really certain why. You've told him to run, and that's what you're trying to do. You have no light, and you cannot have enough. You don't even have enough room to even pull your weapons. Just simply cycle through. As danger ever comes closer, unimpeded by the thin passage. Why don't we get some acrobatics rolls to see if you can get through back to the chamber? Let's start off with that.
How about we start off with my newfound heroic ability, contortionists?
Ooh. Timely.
Hot.
Wow. Yes. Timely indeed.
So let's put it this way. Siggy, you'll have no problem moving the passage as long as you can get Corgan to succeed. Remember, you were in the chamber first. Wait. And he was following you.
And then he came out.
So you left him in there and went in first?
Yes.
I'm just asking. Okay.
I thought I made that clear.
Okay, I wasn't certain. I wasn't certain. So yes, you slipped through. Stretching and contorting, you're able to get past the various things and move along. You hearing the chittering of this insect fall far behind you. Corgan.
I do try and drag Corgan in behind me.
Corgan Stormhammer?
I made a successful acrobatics roll.
And you too are moving along swiftly. I am curious what your moves are, but that's just for academics, of course.
Oh.
Mine is 14.
Okay.
And Kupo's is the robot, which has yet to be invented.
I invented it.
Needless to say, you are moving as swiftly as you can through the passage as you struggle along. And Dane.
Yes?
You hear something coming towards you.
I ready my bow.
You can't. In this thin passage, all you can really do
is... Oh, I ready my really crappy longsword.
Like I said, there's not enough room to pull your... You can literally move slide this way, like sidling along the cave. You can't really...
He readies his braces, which he just had in... They're very nasty.
I back up to wear brains in there. Something's coming.
You're attempting to back up. Why don't you just give me an acrobatics roll?
I don't really want to because I don't have that skill.
We just want to clear the passage so everyone can get out.
I didn't make it because I rolled 13. I don't have that skill, so I forget what my default is, but it's less than 13. Yeah.
So you find yourself a little stuck and wedged. Just you can take on a condition and try and push it. Well, you take on a condition anyway, regardless. Or you can push it and get a condition.
I don't.
And not fail.
Wait, so I get a condition if I don't roll? Oh.
If you fail, you get a condition. But if you try and push it, you'll get a condition anyway, but you'll get to try again.
I guess that I'll push it. I am already scared. So it's not like I'm going to brave up to this. I rolled another 13. So
you've become very disheartened at your possibility of success as whatever is coming toward you.
I done pooped myself.
I didn't say incontinent. I said disheartened.
Okay.
So you were disheartened and you were exhausted, and that's when, Chris, your character comes. You come basically slithering and slipping through because you have no problem. You sort of breathe here, expand, shift hand, slip through. And you can hear Corgan moving behind you, and then you can faintly hear something else sort of behind them.
Yeah, basically, and what you hear from down the cave is,
Corgan, hurry up, they're right behind us, Corgan, they're right behind us, Corgan!
Yeah, and that's what you hear as you're like, oh god, you're stuck. Oh god, I can't oh god.
brains. Yep. Brains.
What?
Pull me through.
I can reach in, like, grab an arm and just...
All right, hold on. I gotta remember the passage. Strength. Everybody shut up and stop talking, I gotta remember how to do this. And I'll burn the willpower point to remember how to bend and flow like I did before, or the three willpower points.
Okay.
And with him pulling me, does that give me another roll?
That'll let you make it. You can let you make the roll without it being a bane, yeah.
Okay. And now I'm now I'm using, I remember I used my adaptive.
Yes.
To remember the passage out of the book and how to be flexible, like, you know.
I am a leaf on the wind.
No, we know how that ended.
You remember he died, right?
And I failed anyway.
Baylor.
Yep. Baylor's going to grab him.
You know.
You grab, you and Bane are trying to grab his hand, but he keeps moving it like he's trying to flex or something. You don't know what he's doing. And you can suddenly...
What is this? Stop trying to contortion yourself. We will contortion you for you.
And there's a haunting strings that come down echoing from the depth.
Oh, what is that? Haunting strings,
haunting plucked strings.
He bravely ran away.
Thou art this said Robin Hood, but I just think I'll just pay the
damage. And danger reared its ugly head. He bravely turned his tail and fled.
I don't know what to do.
Why don't you guys just okay? Well, we
might have to knock him out.
You might have to knock him out, but that's when Stiggy, you arrive to see Dane sort of wedged in there. It's like he's, you don't really know what he was trying to do. And you're really amazed that somehow he's sort of diagonal in this sort of formation of stone. He just needs to just, if you could
would
just.
Would you be able to get yourself out of there if you didn't have an erection?
Finish
I don't know what you're saying.
Get your pants off like that.
Finish him off.
I am the farthest away from an erection that I could possibly be right now.
Corinne, are you pondering what I'm pondering?
I don't know. I just think that, well, possibly.
There are things following us. Please get me out of this.
We're trying. Kogan.
Yes.
Though you are moving at your undisclosed speed, I somehow doubt it's fast enough because it's undisclosed. And they reach you. Out of every crevice, it seems, between every nook, spiders or small crawling creatures, because you can't really see them, except for an occasional flash of multiple glowing eyes, skitter across your entire body, covering the path. Why don't you give me a fear check, please?
You give me a fear check.
I believe I did.
Yes, you did, yeah.
So you're just going to roll against your will, okay?
Ah. Oh, my gosh. I got a 3. I'm doing okay.
Okay, good. You're like, oh, it just feels so wrong to literally have them but crawling so right across your body, but you grit your teeth and are able to endure and continue moving, which is more important, it seems, at the moment.
Do they go in its orifices?
I guess
And there's a precedent for this.
Yes, they go everywhere. And Siggy, I need you to give me a fear check too as they pour towards you out of the darkness. I think you're just in range for them as well.
I made that by a lot.
Okay. You two are disgusted, but if you can get Dane out of the way or move along, you could definitely possibly be in a place to deal with what this swarm of spider things are.
Baylor, you pull where we push.
Of course. What should I roll?
Just strength, Dane.
Actually,
Dane. Oh, strength, okay. Mm-hmm.
You can make the same rule again.
I made it by 2.
At 3 boons. 2 boons, I'm sorry.
Strength of 13, I rolled 11.
That one was a lot better. That one I made all 3 dice.
With the help of some friends, you are able to be pulled out, but you land prone. There's hundreds, it seems, in the light of spiders come pouring out of the crevice behind or with Siggy and Corgan, who don't seem as merely as upset about the situation as the rest of you, suddenly seeing
this
swarm of spiders. And let's go with initiative then.
Ooh.
Oh, jeez.
Okay.
It's another bug hunt.
And they all.
Let's not go to that game.
Just a panic roll. You guys did fine in your panic rolls.
The rhino-sized spider drops from the ceiling.
You're ready. When a tank-sized spider comes out of nowhere.
Can I ask, so when I was freed from it, did I pop out like a cork?
Yes. And then there was a champagne of spiders.
Yeah. The spiders are actually what pushed me out. That's
the name
great.
Of the episode, Champagne of Spiders.
That's a good
down.
One. Yep.
All right. Chris.
Yes.
Wow. Ooh, one. Way to go.
Sean.
Oh, by the way, my new heroic ability is magical talent. Sorry. I'm holding on to it until I can learn a new
ten?
Spell.
Okay. College. Oh, okay, cool.
Okay. Tier.
I'm a you're three. At me. Okay. No, Sean, you got a 10.
He knows. I was the last 10, person. He knows. Nate.
8. Ooh, that's not good. Well, yeah.
Tim.
Ah.
2.
Koopa.
Okay.
And Corinne will go on a 5. The bad guys, let's see, they are. Okay.
Numerous.
They'll go on a 6. So we'll start off with you, Siggy. There is a swarm of hundreds of little spiders that have poured into the area. I mean, literally covering the entire area that you guys are sort of in the middle of, like right in that little sort of junction. They've poured in there just as Quiverwing and Kirin come walking in to this mess. It's like you walk in and it's pretty easy to see them and find them, but yeah, it looks unsettling, to say the least. But you have escaped the smaller side caverns to the north and are now in the main chamber, the main cavern that goes east to west as far as the passage. It is a much bigger area in which to work with. Do you need to see the map again? Would that be helpful?
I think I've got a good handle on it.
Okay, good. Okay.
So, wide passage east-west, narrow passages to the north and south, spiders pouring out of the north one.
Yes. That is correct.
What implements of, what improvised weapons are in the immediate vicinity? What were they using for fire to warm up drains?
There is a torch and I don't think a puddle will help you right now. So probably the torch is the only currently available improvised weapon. If you want to grab the torch that they're currently trying to make a fire out of, actually, it's not really making a fire out of. It's one of the actual sort of like small, you know, pieces of wood they've used to try and get a fire started. You can grab that and may choose to attack the swarm of spiderlings. And if you want to know
its ability, grab that, throw it at the north tunnel. And shout, the lantern! Throw the lantern on the torch!
Oh, here's the bad news. Who has a lantern?
I have a lantern.
I think I was holding one, yeah.
Because, Balor, I thought you were holding a... I thought, Corgan, you were holding a torch.
I have a torch. Balor has a torch.
I wasn't holding mine. Mine's not lit.
And Corgan, you weren't able to hold anything while moving through the crevice. That's why
that is correct. That is correct.
So only Balor has a light source other than the magical light source created by Quiverwing.
Thank you for the correction.
And the dim one by my...
Oh, the dim one by your circlet, yes. Yeah.
So, or that I'll instruct Balor to throw the torch and shall throw the lantern at the crevice.
And once meanwhile, I get my turn.
Yeah.
Okay, so you deal a free hand. Your hit attacks and attack hits automatically, and roll me 2 dice, 2d6 of fire damage, plus any bonus damage you do.
Oh, why does Kubo sound like he's playing the steel drums?
What the heck is happening? They will attempt to dodge.
I really want to see you just pull up a giant steel drum set. That's what you're rolling your dice into.
Yeah, I was like,
The sounds of the islands.
Anyway, I did a whole whopping. Do I add my agility damage to this or no?
Yes, it does say on the card that you do add your bonus damage.
Oh, good, because that'll take it from a 4 to an 8.
Okay.
That was a shitty roll.
The torch strikes the cave wall, sparking and landing on several of the spiders, and they begin to they are immediately consumed, but not enough of the swarm seems to be affected by it.
For now.
For now. quivering.
Is the swarm fairly, like, how many of them are there? You said at one point many, but I didn't...
They're about the size of, I guess they're between the size of, like, a...
Like golf ball size or like bigger?
They're bigger, I think. Let me look at the. I want to give you the fairest description of them to make said you understand. Okay. But I think they're probably like the size of maybe the size of your hand to okay. a small house cat.
Okay. And that's how many of them are there?
They're pretty much well, let me see about the size of space they cover real quick. Sorry, because they do it by just sizes. But
dozens, hundreds.
Yes, think of like dozens. I'd say about 40 or 50 of these things pouring through, and okay. smaller ones that are really probably too small to be any danger to you. It seems are also coming out with them. But yeah, and their size is considered swarm. They usually just cover a certain amount of meter space. And I would say they range to like a large swarm, so we're actually maybe a huge swarm, so about maybe 2 meters, you know. Or maybe an 8 by, actually, not, that's not the large, so I'll make a large swarm. So it's about maybe a 4 by 4 meter sort of square area. It's pretty large as far as what they cover because of the size of them and how many.
Okay.
Basically, there's a lot of places you can shoot and probably hit them.
Yeah, but that's not going to do anything. And I don't think that my lightning trick is going to work here. I'm going to prepare some oil from my kit along with my torch. Okay. I don't know, is that 2 actions, 1 action? I'm going to try to create a fire in the area where they're coming out, basically.
Okay. Well, there's a torch that's lying amongst them right now.
Uh-huh. Are they avoiding it?
Well, after the first group got hit and burned up, yeah, they're trying to avoid it. Okay. They're not, like, scattering very far. Like they're not getting the fire. They're just, you know, they're not running from all the light. They're just running from the actual fire. So there's still plenty there.
Okay. So I'm gonna use fetch... to move the oil into the right direction after I've uncorked it. If that makes sense. I'm seeing this like the oil that I use in my flint and tinder kit. I'm seeing that as just like a small amount of ignitable oil. Is that not?
Is there oil in the... I just thought it was a flint and steel kit that were just made of sparks and you had to provide your own sort of kindling for it, but...
I just assume it is, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think oil is something separate.
Is that something else to buy?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's usually for lanterns. They usually have also the oil and so forth. It would be separate.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm at a loss. I don't really have much that I can do in this case. I'll whack a couple of them with my staff.
Okay.
That's really all I can do here.
Okay.
Do you need it to hit?
Yes. They are a shifting swarm.
I rolled a 1. I don't know if that matters in this case. I mean, if I need to do 1 point of damage, I may have just wasted it.
Did you roll a 1 on the 20 side die?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a dragon. That does make a difference in this game.
Yeah, okay. No, I mean, I don't know if it makes a difference since I can only attack one at a time, right? I mean, it's not a...
In a swarm, you'll usually hit the swarm. You'll hit multiple members of that thing in a swarm.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. I was assuming that if there are, you know, dozens of these cat-like sized creatures that we really could only take out one at a time. And that's what I was trying to find an area of effect weapon, but I don't really have one.
Try not to think of it as like one whack. You're like whacking, 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 and whacking, whacking, whacking these things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. You just like saying that.
Oh, he's whacking.
He does like saying that.
It's totally so whack, man.
Much. That's another way of being
nice. We're getting whacked.
So, I don't know if you want, like, so the normal damage is D8.
Okay, so for rolling a dragon, you can roll double the amount of dice for damage,
mm-hmm.
or you can immediately perform a second attack against another enemy. In this case, since it's a swarm, you could still attack the swarm again, I think, with an additional attack as a free action. Or you can say that your attack does standard normal damage, but armor has no effect against it.
I think it makes more sense to do the second attack if I'm able to affect more than one of the things at the same time. Does that make more sense to do a second attack rather than doing double damage? Or I don't know. I don't know how the calculation works for a swarm.
That's the thing. You don't know. Okay. As far as how effective your blows are, it's usually the damage will probably be dispersed over the bodies. So you're not like, you probably won't be, I mean, in fact, because it's a swarm, you won't be hitting really just one. You'll be hitting several bodies and they'll be dispersed over them. So putting the most damage down possible may be maybe more advantageous for you.
Okay. Then I will do double damage then.
Okay. So what that means is it's a D8.
Yep.
So you roll 2D8 and then add any damage bonus that you have to it. Okay. After that.
And my damage bonus is based on strength, right? Because is it based on agility since it's a staff?
I will check that for you real quick.
I think it's
under gear.
Well, it says it's an agile weapon, so bonus agile is a D4. It says on my character sheet.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So I will roll both of those and then double it, or just roll the D8 and then double it?
Roll 2D8s and then add and then roll 1D4 and add that to it.
Okay. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not.
It's okay. This is all.
I haven't actually used this weapon before, so I'm not. 6, a 7, and a 2. So 14. 15. Sorry.
You've squashed quite a few of the spiders. Causing many more to scatter. Dane.
So Dane is going to back up from the swarm and try to think of anything that might deter these spiders, anything that he could do, anything about their nature. So I was wondering if he could maybe using like a beast lore.
You have beast lore?
Yeah, I have a beast lore at 12.
I think maybe bushcraft might be more appropriate than beast lore, though.
Okay, I got that at a 13. Give it a shot. I rolled a 10.
Yeah, actually, I stand corrected. Beast lore was a better one to do, but either one, you would have succeeded. Probably either the fire is probably one of the best deterrents. That, or oddly enough, you think possibly water.
Do I think like the water in my water skin would do it?
No, you think that you need a large amount of water to basically sort of like they need to be not necessarily just washed away, but sort of like there's enough standing water that their lower body would be in the water and they could possibly drown or something.
Okay. The water that's flowing in the passage, is there a way to route that up here?
Not very easily as far as you're aware of, no.
Build a dam.
Yeah, there's nothing that you could possibly do as far as constructive, as far as unless you can shape earth or something. Or
have you read a book
water.
About being a beaver?
And since you did not go into, you didn't get very far in the Northern Passage, you can surmise that it crosses over it, but you don't know how close or how thick the stone is between the passage to the north above the water stream you came against. So nothing comes to mind. You just know that the fire and water are probably the most effective, though basically, anything that can do a large swath of damage will break up the swarm enough that they will retreat, is what you do know. At least that's how you believe these spiders should work.
Yeah.
The only thing is, there's something odd about the way they all look anyway.
What's odd about that?
It doesn't match a local genus at all. At least as far as what you... As far as which most men of knowledge know about the area of the Misty Vale.
Could I empty my lantern oil?
Next turn.
Okay, next turn.
Yeah, next That's action fine. You can
So
use
I'll
that.
Just retreat from the swarm and ready the lantern.
Okay. Ready the lamp oil, lantern oil.
Well, I don't have it a spare. All I have is what's in my lantern.
Okay. All right, Koopa, what does Corgan do?
Can you remind me, are we in a, is it stone in every direction? Is it, what yes. does the ceiling look like?
It is stone with some stalactites on it. It'll probably be limestone, something sort of dripping through caves, but mostly stone all around you. Stone all around you, yes.
Can I slashy at the ceiling to maybe make some sort of close the gap behind me to maybe?
You do not think you can do enough to close this passage? It goes from floor to ceiling and both directions, both you know from the, on both sides. So breaking off enough stone to plug it, considering the size of these spiders. You were smaller than, you know, a halfling, obviously. And you're only being a halfling, being able to reach the ceiling is not something you can really do easily. Since it's about at least 8 feet above you.
So your prejudice against lowest. Short people. Okay, I see how this is now.
The world is.
Can I hop on one and it becomes my ride?
No, like I said, cat size. You're much too big for that. The biggest ones are like small cats.
No. Well, all right. In that case, now the torch I did have, is somebody holding my torch? Did I place it on the ground somewhere?
You're not really sure whose torch it is. It was thrown in the middle of those spiders, but I mean, unless you put it away and or you just dropped it, I don't know what you did with your torch. You could not carry your torch into the crevice. You would need your hands to maneuver all the way through the stone.
Well, that's what my mom always had a problem. She's like, "Oh, you're always misplacing your torch," and yeah, she's just always.
So that could be it burning on the ground.
Then I, what's the word? Run. I run away from the spiders.
And which way do you run?
Away.
There is a passage that goes east to west.
We want to go.
Going east leads towards the passages that go further into the caves, but have the icy cold river that crosses them. Going west leads out of the caves entirely. The north and south passage are thinner and more difficult to maneuver. The north passage is now full of spiders who are pouring out, and the south passage, though it's just as thin, does not appear to have any spiders in it from this venue.
And... Where's everybody else? Where's the rest of my team?
They're kind of in the middle in the junction between all four of those passages.
I yell out, "I know which way to go," and I just keep heading south. Where you said it's just as narrow, but there's no spiders.
Okay, you'll just need to make an acrobatics roll to get through that.
Okay, let's.
Dane.
Yes.
Balor says he knows which way to go. We got to get out of here. And he heads for the southern passage and begins squeezing through.
No, don't go that way. There's poison there.
I'm not...
Corgan.
I went that
Corgan,
way.
Corgan, not Balor.
Yeah, no, like it literally is screaming. Corgan, no, don't go that way. It's dangerous.
Oh, I stopped then.
Did you not see the spiders? Like,
There's still spiders filling up the whole area. Okay.
I did make the acrobatics roll, but because of that, I was able to stop, I guess.
Yes. You're squeezing in, and they're like, oh, God. Corinne, I will choose to evade. Should I be attacked? And that's what she will do. And move back towards the entrance. Okay. The spiders.
Well, the spiders evaded. Do they have the,
Yes, they
or
do.
Or tried to evade.
They do have a little plan. And then it happens. So.
Oh, no.
Despite all the targets that seem to be, the swarm seems to follow Corinne's movements and really speed towards her, sort of en masse. towards her. She is literally engulfed by spiders.
Ooh.
Taking 4 points of slashing damage. She's got to make a fear roll. Wait. Oh, and the victim suffers a fear attack, yeah, so. She's basically she fails the fear attack and her face turns white as a sheet, but as you all know, she is as pale as milk anyway. And
she's pee-peeing herself.
No. She's, yeah. no, she basically is enfeebled and loses 9 willpower points. And becomes disheartened as she is covered with biting spiders that have tracked her down and engulfed her. There's just a scream for a second, then she seems to be covered by a mass of spiders lost in there. I don't think that she has that many gold points, but anyway. But Corinne is gone. No, out. No. Oh, dear.
No, you said she's gone, so.
No, I was thinking about how much damage she took.
She collapsed?
No. She's not unconscious. She didn't go down. She just is just too enfeebled to do anything more right now. Okay.
Flailing and running wildly.
Mm-hmm. Brain. Cold brain.
Karen, I'll take care of you. Run over there, and I start trying to smash the spiders with my large shield.
Okay.
Ouch.
That was almost really good. I rolled a 2.
Yeah. And I just have this vision of Brain's shield charging right into Corinne.
That's what I kind of thought too, but. Amazing. Despite the spiders were preoccupied with covering her, they don't issue, or at least don't react swiftly enough, and your shield connects with several of their bulbous, sticky bodies, yes.
So, there's something I want to do.
Sing a song?
Do they have a damage bonus, the spiders? Because basically, I want to shove them off of her.
Do they have a damage bonus?
Yeah, so I want to do a shove as part of my attack.
Mm-hmm.
It says if you hit an enemy with a melee attack and your strength damage bonus is equal to or higher than your opponent's damage bonus, you can choose to shove the enemy up to 2 meters in any direction to an adjacent square, basically. In addition to doing damage. And I think, you know, using a large shield, I think it kind of makes sense. I'm like, I'm hitting them, but also I'm kind of like knocking them off.
It's something else, but I think it was parry movement, but yes.
Yeah, so I do a d8 and a d4, yeah, d8 okay. And d4. A 2, so 8 total.
Okay. You smash them with your shield, they scatter, and many of them go flying, doing some, at least clearing, you know, a number of them off of Corinne, who is still sort of crumpled on the floor, just sort of enfeebled and just too weak to move after all that sort of trauma.
Why does it have to be spiders?
Baelor, Banefire.
So, is our companion still in danger? The one that's covered spiders, or
at this point, all of you are in danger.
All right, I'm going to swing at some spiders with my longsword because I don't have a vial of oil to throw on the fire, so that's all I can do, really. And I roll a 3, so that will hit. I need 2d8. It's an 8 and an 8, 16.
It is a.
I hope we do cleave damage.
It is a resounding hit. A number of bodies are squished.
Yes. Oh, creatures.
And they're beginning to disperse to a certain degree. And we're going to go back to the top. Okay. Siggy. 9.
Wake me when it's my turn.
Belor. 8.
All right. Not much better,
Dane,
but I'll take it.
3. Brain. 7.
Oof.
Covering. 4.
4.
Gorgon. 1. Yikes. And the spiders. Oh,
thank God. All right, so we better all kill them. Smash them.
Look, I set the table. It's up to one of you guys with oil to do the rest.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait, who was one?
Corgan.
Corgan, okay.
All right, so where are they in relation to everybody? Are they now in the main hallway?
They're in the main hallway covering about a 4x4 meter area in which the party is sort of in the middle of.
Okay.
There's a number of crushed spiders everywhere, some burnt, some smashed, but you know.
I'm looking at my character sheet and apparently I have a hammer.
Well, you could be using the that is a weapon you could be using. You could use it to hammer things, you know.
I'm going to use it to hammer things. So I'm going to be like the little kid in Little Rascals where he's got the hammer and he just starts. It's just I'm going to play whack-a-mole right now.
Okay.
I'm rolling a 20 against that.
Yes.
I succeed. I roll a 7.
Yes. So obviously, that is part of the swarm. Will try to avoid you. That is not a success. So roll damage.
Okay. 4.
Okay. You squish a couple of spiders.
Squishy, squishy.
Dane?
I will switch initiative with somebody who goes later. Anybody wants?
You can go with, I mean, Ziggy or Bella or go after you as well. I'll actually, go. Most people go after you.
Yeah.
No, didn't you, you want to... Remember how we said you could spread the oil this round?
Yeah. No, but I'm saying if somebody else had something else they want to do, I'm happy.
Throw the oil, man.
Yeah, throw the oil.
Okay, yeah, I'll spread the oil out to leading up to the fire.
Okay. Guess why don't you just give me an agility roll?
Okay. Agility is 14. And I rolled a demon.
God, I mean, oh.
I'll take a condition and push that.
Okay. I do.
Oh, God. You're going to need therapy.
Didn't you take a condition last time?
You have currently
three conditions.
Don't you have three conditions running right now?
No, I have two conditions.
Okay.
Remember I have scared and disheartened.
Okay. Remember what stats and overall skills below the stats are affected by that.
Right.
Just so you know.
So I am going to take. I'm going to take exhausted. No, I'll take sickly.
Okay.
Sickly.
And the new role is a 2.
Okay. You're able to land the oil in an arc that leads to the torch. Causing a sudden blaze of fire. Why don't you roll me 2d6 of damage?
Okay. 10 points.
Okay. It is far more effective than you anticipated. As the splash engulfs and suddenly ignites, it seems to spread throughout a good portion of the swarm and burn them to a popping crisp as thousands of bodies suddenly ignite and pop like popcorn. Not like as they did before. And the swarm disperse, most crawling back into the northern crevice, scurrying as quickly as they can.
Yeah!
And dispensing from the hallway.
You'll never eat me if you give up like that.
Dane turns and vomits.
I missed you guys. How you doing?
Oh, swimmingly.
Not well.
Yeah, don't say
really not so swimmingly.
Really not well.
So, what are we gonna do? I mean, I'm freezing my ass off, and
there's a fire right there. Not really.
Yeah, we have a fire.
The oil's gonna burn out.
The oil's gonna burn out at some point. You need to make a real fire to get it warm, but you're still shaking from the cold. Quivering, looking at the party, you do see that, you know, they look a little worse for wear. You do notice that Dane has those symptoms that you were described as far as being exposed to the fungus with a slight different coloration in the, what do you call that? Not the iris. What's the whites of his eyes look a bit purple?
Scholar? Is that what it is? Sclera?
Sclera.
Sclera. There, yeah. Anyway, it looks a bit purplish. So he may be in need of an antidote, but you don't really know. Others are covered with various bites, scrapes, except for Brain, who looks apparently like he's just shivering cold and somewhat still wet.
Friends,
so wet.
I say we go out and regroup and camp ourselves, and I need rest.
I think that would be a fine suggestion, now knowing what we face before us. Perhaps now that Quiverwing has arrived, we have a means of getting across the North Passage a bit more easily.
Yeah, is anybody injured that I can help you out?
Yeah, I mean, there's some people injured. Corinne is actually
I'm not injured.
Near death, I guess. Not dead, but she only has 7 hit points and she took
4.
4. Okay. So she's not doing great. I think. And Brain is, he obviously, from falling in, has taken damage because he's freezing and has lost some hit points. So your party's not in the best condition right now, but yeah.
All right. Let's do this.
Retreat to the entrance.
If we're going to take a break, then we should take a moment to heal everybody up.
Yeah.
So then we have the party withdraw to the entrance of the cave.
Okay.
I think that's a good idea.
You withdraw back to the entrance of the Oracle Cave.
Yeah, I think it's a safe bet we're going to come across those spiders or something else like them, so maybe we could supply up a bit.
And you're a bit surprised that it's, how little time has passed since you guys entered the cave. It's now maybe early evening as opposed to the middle of the afternoon, but still, it seems a lot longer, but goodness.
Can we find a nice safe place to camp?
We find the means to build a fire here, I think.
Who's
burned the fungus?
who wants healing from me?
I mean, I think Corinne needs it more than I do, but I could use some also.
Okay. I have healing as well.
Well,
I think
the actual treat wound. Spell is what I'm talking about.
Oh.
Yes, magic.
No, I would go with Corinne.
All right, Corinne and then Brains.
Yeah.
I will roll a 4 for Corinne. That will succeed. And I will roll a 3 for Brains, which will succeed.
Yay.
And I will use up 3 willpower each for them, Malcolm. So during the stretch, I will do my recovery of willpower. Corinne, you only get 5 back. Sorry. And you get 8 back.
Okay, that fills her. That's more than what she has. Yeah, that's
clear. Oh, okay. Does this heal willpower also, or just...
No, just hit points.
Okay. Right.
You get 8 hit points back.
Willpower is just rest. Right.
Yep. And now, if you take a stretch, you get your d6 for that, too, as far as willpower goes.
During a stretch rest, how do you recover conditions?
You recover one condition.
Corinne has a song, which will help you.
I think a shift.
No.
That Corinne had a song that could relieve a condition.
I don't believe she does. Let me just check. Let me just check her ability real quick. Mm-hmm. Maybe it might. I know it could just give you bonuses. I don't know if it could do more than that. Schools of magic.
A shift rest heals all conditions. A stretch rest is 1.
Yeah, a shift rest is 8 hours, though. I don't. We're not going to be out here for 8 hours, are we? Is that what we're doing?
That's up to you guys.
I could probably use it. I'm at three conditions.
At this point in time, it's very early evening. So think of around about maybe 5 or 6 in the evening in the spring. So there's plenty of time before full darkness, but you could just stay out here overnight.
Yeah, I suggest we build up the fire.
And attack the cave in the morning. It'll be just as dark then as it is now.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter what time we go in there.
We can discuss our plans. And again, now that we have Quiverwing, who can more ably swim across the North Passage, perhaps carrying a line, make it much easier for the rest of us to cross.
Kieran looks at them and goes, they have no idea you cannot sin, do they?
Oh, God.
I'm really good at failing at swimming. I get a boon on my sixth skill.
So, that's but,
better no, it's than actually, what sorry, it's actually get. It's actually an eighth skill. So,
same as me.
Dane?
Yes.
I'm a duck too.
You are certain of one thing about these spiders, though, now, after several observations and your own spectacular display, that you think that most of the actual sort of like physical damage that's inflicted on them, and even possibly even things like something, you know, other things probably will not be as effective because it is a swarm, except for fire, which seems to be the most effective as far as doing damage to a swarm. But that's all you can really tell.
I mean, I'm out of oil, and fire was the only thing effective against those spiders. And if we come up against them again,
Caridin will go, I have 10 doses of oil on
10
on miserable beast. Well, yes. There's no reason to run out, particularly when you have somebody carrying it.
Well, that would certainly help.
Well, you better catch him.
I have a Holocaust cloak. Why didn't you list it among
assets?
We can split up some of these vials of oil, and for those one, I'll carry a light because my weapons are useless in there.
Well, yeah, I was feeling pretty useless too.
And also, I mean, the oil might not hurt to even try to get, if we had some fat from maybe some of the animals we captured, to get through those tight passages again.
You mean grease our bodies down to get through passages? We're using animal fat?
I was vertical. Then I was horizontal trying to get through that path. It's not easy.
I think the idea of covering ourselves in fatty substances from animals that might be, you know, eaten by the things in there might not be the best idea.
I don't think they're picky. Mm-hmm, what seasoning you use?
Oh, yeah. Let me check something. Yeah, go ahead.
They're ease of finding us, however.
Well, maybe we won't have to go through those Sydney passages again, and we can go a different way.
So our options are swarms of spiders to the north narrow passage, poisonous fungus to the south passage, cold water to the north passages.
So it's getting across the cold water. Couldn't we just bring logs in?
There was another passage that we didn't actually go down.
Someone did, I believe.
I did.
Siggy went down and found that the stream cost that too.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
The spores sound interesting.
And it was about 16 feet across.
Mm-hmm.
They were not.
So the learned man. The learned man says the spores were not.
You did not much enjoy.
Just dusting off himself, his clothing.
Yes, we spoke to the weeding woman in the village. She said that it was, you know, to avoid those things. They should look like, hold on, I've got a picture here. So she gave us there. It's a nice illustration of the spores that you saw. Avoid these, and if you can't, drink this afterwards. It'll stop the poison if it continue to course through your body and kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
This is what they call just-in-time knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Nifty, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You should put that in a book.
Mm-hmm. I will probably omit that portion from our tales.
Well, no, it doesn't have. You know nothing about anything unpleasant.
It's best to inform everyone.
Yeah, anything unpleasant you just attribute to someone you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
My best friend Bree, I gave her everything that goes wrong. In my stories. I mean, I do love her, but she is a bit of a, you know, sea.
Mm-hmm.
Sea hag.
Yes, sea hag. She loves the ocean. She's been on ships all the time.
Very well. So our options are swim across the North Passage with a line or carry in a very large log.
Since I'm ashamed
to spend the distance
of my anti-duck swimming capabilities, I will offer up that I will swim across the river for you.
Brain?
Yeah?
Do you recall anything about the river? Should be important here.
It's very, 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 very cold. Cold, 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 cold. Can you fly across?
The wings are just for show.
Yeah, they really are. They end in hands.
That I mean, is
yeah. So, no, I can't fly across. Can you lift your leg and pee your way across?
I like tried that before. Pee. It didn't work out so well.
I mean, so, sorry. I'm looking at the picture of the assassin duck on page 47, and I'm thinking to myself, somebody's asking him if he can fly. Yeah, he can fall with style.
This guy?
Yeah. Like, he can fall with style.
Can you fly? Fall with deadly intent. So, you're going to make camp. Just give me a bushcraft roll if you want to help whenever you can.
I can
give
them
a boon. That's and fine. That way, you guys
can I'm happy to
safely
help.
Be able to set up a shelter, get a Who's, fire. Is
somebody
going to
help me?
I'll help.
And right. Game Master, while that's going on, I'll have a moment to collect myself. And
to what yourself?
Collect myself. So as I'm making my notes about our journey so far and for my eventual memoirs, okay. I would like to use 3 willpower points and use intuition.
Oh, dear. Is that one of those things where you ask me questions? Did I give you lies? I mean, I give you answers.
Oh, yes.
Sorry. Typo.
You must go to the left.
Yes, there is a cave. And an oracle in said cave. Okay, intuition. That's some sort of, what is that?
It's a scholar ability. It means that I can ask the game master for information. Ooh. Such like which is there a safe way to go, what is the best way to go. So,
I don't even see that.
That's because I didn't want to use it all up on you.
You sneaky bastards. All right, not to be confused with insight. Okay. Well, I mean, if it's a difficult decision, I suppose I can give you a direct, you can ask me directly, and I can give you a helpful answer. Let me just take a sip of my...
Notice it doesn't say helpful to whom.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it's true.
You're helpful to the spiders, perhaps.
Yes, so, formulate your question.
So can you read the text for intuition for me, please?
Oh, sure. The text is, when faced with a difficult decision, you can activate this ability to ask a question directly to the GM and receive a helpful answer. The answer represents your vast general knowledge and should only aid in your decision-making, not reveal everything that is to know. Because you do not know everything.
So, do you want to crowdsource this here with the party, or?
So, what are you trying
the
to?
Meaning
well, I gotta ask, like, yeah. What would be the safest passage to get the entire the safest and most feasible passage for the party to proceed along, or you know, do we have the means of safely traversing? The main passage within our party.
Yeah, given what we know of the passages in the cave, would it be feasible to bridge the streams in the main passage? I think that covers it without exploding any knowledge we wouldn't otherwise be privy to.
Okay. Or, you know, analyzing the risks from all 3 passages, what would be the safest for the entire party to move forward with? How does that sound?
What would be safest for the entire party to move forward with?
I mean, that one sounds reasonable as well. The odds are deathly spores, spiders in the dark, or stream.
Yeah.
I don't know if this answer will be very helpful.
You read the rules.
It has to be, man. Sorry.
Okay. I think I'll have to expand my answer in order for it to be helpful. Okay?
Okay.
More than I wanted to do.
Do you want me to rephrase the question?
You want the safest passage for the party, correct?
Yeah, given what we know.
Given what you know, yes. Given what you know, let me just go over some facts and difficulty as far as giving response.
Yeah, so this is how Dane is doing it. He's listing, you know, listing the dangers, the liabilities. You know, we can't get none of us. We all can't easily get through the tight passage, and we only have so much oil, and we only have so much antidote. So he's like listing. He's having one of those like Sherlock moments.
Okay. Well, the fire is the most effective against those spiders that you encountered so far. You have killed a large number of them that pursued you into the smaller, narrow passages to the north. You may have killed enough to have actually cleared out that number, but as Siggy has pointed out, it ends in a chamber that's covered with spider webs and doesn't know if there's more in there. As far as across the stream, the important thing is just to get across. You can control how far and how long you're exposed. As a matter of fact, the very fact that he had tied himself to Corgan saved, probably, Brain from being swept under the water and through the underwater, into the underwater river. Spanning it will be difficult. I mean, some work will have to be done to actually span it. You could make a flotation device that made, like a small rudimentary, like, log boat or something or whatever, possibly. To get across, it wouldn't be perfect, but the river moves swiftly, so you wouldn't get much use out of it before it smashes into the wall. But you know, the opening is not very large off the water, so it may get wedged. So you may give you some more time to get across, and have a midway passage reducing your exposure, but you don't know what lies beyond it. So generally, the stream is probably the one that's the. Well, it has solutions that you can possibly do to make it easier. While the one with the other passage with the spiders to the north, which definitely bypasses the stream by either going over it or under it, you're not really sure. Well, actually, talking to Siggy, you know it goes over the underwater stream, under the cave stream. That you wouldn't be able to take any action against anything coming through there until you got out into the chamber. You would be, regardless of having your flask of oil and everything, none of that's effective until you get to a place where you can actually fight them. So that swarm still could have taken you in that sort of, you know, narrow passage, and you wouldn't have been able to do anything to defend yourselves, really. And nothing to really stop it or slow it down, you know. I mean, you could maybe do some evading to a certain degree at a bane, I guess, but it's already be difficult to defend yourself, and you could not actually launch an attack against them in that way, if there's more. So the stream is probably the safer of the two, but it has a large number of hazards all its own. But you think with enough, you know, with enough applied bushcraft, you could probably reduce any damage from actual cold if you guys work that, figuring out, you know, where to put the coats and how to layer yourselves and even doing something like that. The swimming part is probably the difficult thing because it is a swiftly moving underwater stream. So it's the cold and the speed of it and its size. So it has more things that need to be overcome, but there are things that you could overcome and won't be under attack when it happens, as opposed to the other pain, where you're trying to get through it and then we'd be helpless if caught there from the danger that is apparent to you.
Well, I'll share that with the party.
Is it still a good idea to keep the flask, you think?
Oh, very much so.
Absolutely. A flask for everyone, I should think.
At least one. And for the people who are, like me, not combat effective in a cave, or
for the
most times, maybe a couple more.
For the foliage around the cave, are there any fallen logs or easily felled small trees that might span the length? Of the stream, or the width of the stream?
Well, in the course of your making your camp, you already, I mean, that's one thing I described when we first came to this area. These hills around the little small hamlet of Weaver's Hollow and these hills, they sort of rise up out of the actual Iron Forest. So moving far enough away the hills, you're going to run into woods. You can definitely find the, it's a matter of transporting and pulling it to the cave mouth and so forth. And convincing, and I mean, you do have the miserable beast, though he's currently just not really, you know. But yeah, I mean, the wood can be found. It's a matter of just preparing it and getting it in there. And that would probably take another, you know, like almost a whole another shift to do all that, or at least half a shift to.
Yeah, a day to find the wood. I'm gonna take
a stretch and ask Miserable Beast why he doesn't want to go into the cave.
So are you gonna use your
talk?
Are you gonna use your power to do that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Malcolm, can I take this?
This is yours. Go on.
All right. So you have to cast your spell, right? You have to.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm burning 3 willpower, and I will roll it, and I. God damn it. I rolled a dragon. I rolled a 1.
And what is this power called?
It's called Animal Whisperer.
Oh, my God.
It's a spell.
Animal Whisperer. Give me a second.
God.
It takes a stretch, and the spell lets you talk to a bird or mammal. You can ask a number of questions equal to the power level. So I just want to ask the 1 question, so I'm only giving it 1 power. Mm-hmm. Animals can tell you what they have seen, heard, smelled, but they do not perceive the world as humanoids do, and their answers are often hard to interpret. The main advantage is that they never lie.
So what was the question?
Why don't you want to go into the cave?
Okay, so so what's it look like when you cast a spell? Can you describe it for me? So you're standing there like face to face with
you can choose the extra trappings of this.
I am French kissing it with my bill, whilst also putting my fingers wet willy fashion into his.
You
ears.
Do realize what it looks like—a diseased mangy.
Yeah.
No. Okay. All
right. So
I don't know. I mean, it's just it's a spell. I throw some sage on the ground. I spin around in a circle, and I light a candle. Then I ask the question.
Did you read the text of the Animal Whisperer, Nathan?
No, I don't think it really matters at this point. But
I was going to say, it kind of does, but it's up to your interpretation of Animal Beast, which is what I'm looking forward to. But it says, animals can tell you what they have seen, heard, or smelled, but they do not perceive the world as humanoids do, yeah. And their answers are hard to interpret. The main advantage is that they never lie.
So I've actually been thinking about this. For a long time, like what would happen if
I honestly did not think this would derail the tonight's campaign.
It's
so.
Not how derailing. Long have you known Nathan? There's no derailing. We're this is but not a derailment. Like,
don't you remember
I'm excited to hear what Nathan comes up with here.
This is an enlightenment. Yes.
Well, like, don't you remember what happened like the first time you tried to? No, okay, guess not. All right, so
in the first episode, I was going to, but I didn't get any response or something like that.
No, you. Didn't you get didn't you have to like make a will save, which is what I'm going to make you do right now.
Oh, okay. I'll do a will save. That's fine.
So this is the co-GM part of the show. Ladies and
finally, you decided to do it. So my will save.
Yeah. Finally, Nathan wants to do some work.
Yeah.
So what is my will save? Is it
just roll under your will.
Just roll under the will. Okay.
Yeah.
By only by 2.
Okay, that's great. You're good. So, mm-hmm. you look into Miserable Beast's eyes and you,
I'm nervous.
And you ask your question, and then you're not where you were before. You're someplace else, and it's dark.
Oh my God.
You can kind of sense and see the world around you, and there's a large tent, probably 50, 60 yards away, and something feels wrong. Something feels really, really wrong, and you're getting anxious. And you're waiting there for a while, and just the wrongness is just getting worse. And then all of a sudden, you hear like screaming, and people start streaming out of this tent and like running in all certain directions. And then you see people that you recognize, and they're coming towards you, and you're like, that sense of wrongness is getting stronger, and you're like urging them to come towards you, especially the young one. You don't know why. Well, you know why you want to protect the younger one, but you don't really want to think about that right now. You just want them to get to you. You know, if they can get to you, they'll be safe. And they're halfway. The people, it's still dark. You can't make out faces or anything like that. You just have this kind of just general feeling. And then, like, there's this shockwave. And, like, everyone around is just, like, pushed to the ground. And you feel it yourself. And you're just, like, urging them to come to you and get to you. And they get up and start running to you again. And then you hear this loud crack in your hip, but it's you know, you kind of shrug it off. It's not a big deal. And then another shockwave hits, and everything goes black. You're back where you were before, and you fly about 4 feet back away from Miserable Beast.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Yeah,
when I'm standing there watching everybody boil out of the tent and all of the chaos and mayhem that ensued, do I feel like I'm standing on 4 feet, or do I feel like I'm standing on 2 feet?
You don't feel feet.
Okay.
Yeah, you felt like you had a body, but you're just you felt like you had a massive body, and you're just there. You're present, like.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, that
and then you hear the voice in your head says, I don't feel like going.
Hmm.
Ooh.
After, and that happened after I got blown away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does he take any damage from the fall?
No.
Excellent. Hmm. Just let me know when it's my turn.
Yeah, you're on your butt. But yeah, that's it. And you're just.
Does anybody else notice this happen to me?
So, I guess to everybody else, it's really kind of over in a second. Where for you it felt like minutes, but it was really he kind of like looked at Miserable Beast, and then he just kind of flies back a few feet and lands on his butt.
Hmm. I just nod and say turnips.
Mm. Well, you know, what do you expect from a duck?
Oh my God!
Wow.
I mean,
wow, so duck racist.
He's a the mallets have been a part of our society.
Sean always playing the bigot characters.
I mean, yes,
they're light on their feet. They move very smoothly. What?
I just shift a couple of spaces away from Baylor.
Wow.
Well. Corinne will come over to see how you are. Well, that went well.
Yeah, on a lark.
What did you do?
Yeah, just get my phone there. On a lark. I decided to talk to Miserable Beast about why he's so adamant about not going into the cave.
Because it's full of giant spiders.
And I'll tell you.
Went well, did it?
He said he didn't want to.
Oh, be the wisest one of us all.
Wait, you used all that concern that the donkey doesn't want to go in a dark cave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, I feel like the spell might have backfired.
Well, I take back.
Yeah,
my,
I'm not really.
Maybe I should have insulted you then.
I'm going to go back to my calculations.
It was an odd experience. I feel like the spell backfired.
Sure. Maybe I'm going to throw up a little bit more and then go back to my calculations.
You do. It feels better after you purge.
Yeah.
And maybe, Dane, a little more purge and less binging, and we'll be a lot better, right? Okay. And Karen goes back to her room. So, having set up camp and had our interesting talk with Miserable Beast for some of us.
He's a donkey, right? It's the official, okay.
Well, that's the best description.
That's the closest species that they're identifying.
It's vaguely donkey-shaped.
Vaguely donkey-shaped, held together by matted and rot. Well.
I'm pretty sure Spite is in there as well.
Oh, yes, definitely runs on Spite and coffee if he somehow finds it.
Little soupçon of Spite. Well, so we get a long rest, yes? Stretch rest, 8 hours.
Well, yes, I just have to make a few rolls. I'm sure everything's going to be fine.
Sure, nothing will come out of the cave and eat us.
We set up a watch.
And a fire.
I'm going to refill my... I'm going to take two or three of those flasks of oil, if that's okay.
Mm, how disappointing.
Yeah, I'll take one, too, since I thought I had one anyway.
I will also take one.
So, Karen has a total of, 10 doses of lamp oil.
Yeah.
That she will distribute to the party. Let me see if
I took two.
You take two? Don't be greedy.
It's just two. Well, they're all taking like TD.
I have melee weapons.
I have 10.
Yeah. Oh. I take one.
And what do you mean you have no melee weapons?
I used a bow and arrow.
We literally...
Oh, the sword?
Yes.
That I just got that for looks. I don't know how to use it.
For looks?
Well, that's what you're going to use anyway. You don't know how to use the oil flask. Well, actually, you do. You did pretty good from there.
Killed a lot of
spiders. Well, you do look rather handsome with the sword. I think, honestly.
You know, you look really handsome if you swung it at something, too.
Well, if somebody would teach me, then I would be fine in learning.
I don't know. The art of sword
Maybe
playing.
You could, and she points to Mr. Gorgon, you could talk to someone who knows how to fight.
I believe you take the pointy end and you stick it.
That's usually how it goes.
I've seen the illustrations.
Well, you haven't looked at all of them. You haven't gone to the flip book?
No. I mean, there's
the fencing flip book of Pildis Magar.
There's the higher, much higher learning with the steps and the higher circles learning. And this and the thing.
Well, there you go. You've got a good start on it anyway.
I mean, I'm loath to admit this. Sometimes you can't get everything you need out of books. I'm learning this now.
Really?
Mm.
Shocking.
I'm
really surprised.
Yeah, my first hangover was really, really, really shocking to me.
Mm. That will not be your last. Okay, so you got lamp oil. It'll seeing how it will keep a lamp burning for an entire shift.
Can I? So I have a few wooden arrows, and I have some cloths and things. Could I soak some rags in there, tie them into the end of arrows? Just a few. So if I wanted to light them and shoot them, say, across a long distance, like a
you could definitely try.
Then I will try.
I see a lot of arrows doing this.
that or yes. You can certainly try.
I'll try just a few. How much?
Okay.
In fact, I might even just tie the cloth to the end of a few of them, and then I'll worry about dipping the oil in them later.
Okay.
Right then. Shall a couple of us go looking for wood to span the stream?
Yeah, I'll help with that. I'm good at finding wood.
Mm. Fetch, boy. Fetch!
Ooh, found a stick.
It's almost over. We can stop here.
Yeah. We could stop, and those of us sticking around, we could roll
do our advances.
Do our advances.
Yeah, advancements. So, mm-hmm. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. We're making camp.
Good night.
Party shot.
for another minute or two to do the advancements. I just
do your advancements first.
It's been long. It's been a long day. I got to get up at 5 tomorrow. Ooh. So.
Yuck.
Sean, what time do you have to get up?
I have to get up at 4:53.
No, I don't.
And everybody's dick is 2 inches longer than mine. I get it.
I work overnights. Have a shitty job.
So you have an any?
Comes out the back. It's like a tail.
Jeez. Make your damn rolls.
Let's ask the questions, guys.
Okay. Oh, I don't even. All right. Let me get to the questions. I'm sorry. All right. First of all, if you got any demons or dragons on rolls for a skill roll, those skills should be checked and noted for advancement.
It doesn't count if I push it, does it?
No, it does not. You released it and let it go. You didn't take the consequence, so you don't get the rewards.
That's fine. I'd rather do that than fucking be eaten alive.
Yeah, there's that. Okay. Did you participate in the game session?
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
Technically.
Did you explore a new location?
I did.
Some of you
I did.
Did you defeat a dangerous adversary?
Yes.
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 Did you overcome an obstacle without using force?
No.
Not so much.
Did you give in to your weakness?
Yes.
Yes.
Salted the duck.
It's not this week.
Okay. Right. Once you've populated that, we can begin the advancement rolls. We'll start off with you, Tyr.
All right,
so
I've got
we
three.
Can get you to bed.
So I am going to try bows. I've got a 15, and I rolled a 17. Right,
well done. Congratulations.
It goes to a 16. Nice,
excellent.
I will try spot hidden. I also have a 15. 8, and I will try languages. I have a 13. I rolled a 12. So that's it for me.
Okay. Oh, and just remind me next week when we come back, as far as making your flaming arrows, it'll probably just be like a crafting roll.
Oh, yeah, it's a skill. I don't. We'll talk about it. I have some ideas.
That's why you have your ability.
Hence, I said, you can definitely try.
Good night.
All right, well, thanks, everybody.
Cheers. Right. Good night, dear.
Cheers.
Take care.
Good night,
cheers.
Night, dear.
I'll go next. I rolled a dragon on animism. And I did not get above an 18. I rolled a dragon on staffs, and I did not get above a 14. I am going to do swimming, and I did. I rolled a 17, so swimming will go up by one here.
Hmm. See, point of note, you can't get a roll above a skill that's already at 18.
Oh, you can't. Well, I rolled a dragon for it, so I don't know. What do I do in that case? It's just a wasted dragon?
Do you put it on something else?
You can just... I'm going to say you put it on something else, I guess.
Yeah. No, I think so.
As opposed to just like it.
So pick something else.
All right, I'll pick something else. I'll pick spot hidden for that. I rolled a 19, so that one will also go up.
Okay.
To 15. I'm going to take writing. Not sure why. Oh, I rolled a 15. Oop, oop, there wasn't a pencil. So that's now 7. Healing. Demon. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, it's a 1. That's a dragon in this game. But I didn't get the upgrade.
Yeah.
And bushcraft. I rolled bushcraft. I'll roll that one. I didn't get it. I rolled a 2. There you go. That's all mine.
All right, who's next?
Good night, gentlemen. Take care. Oh, did you put the link in?
No, I'll do that right now.
Okay, put the link in, and then I'll go away.
Also, just a note: as far as pushing rolls, you can never push a demon roll in the future. I did let Tyr do that, but you cannot push that.
That's good to know. That makes sense.
And whenever you're pushing a roll, if it has boons or banes on it, they all are rerolled.
I was pushing demon rolls when I worked at Monta Sushi. We had to get rid of it, so.
Yeah.
This is on.
Anyway, don't forget to tip your waiter.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go. First, just because it's topical, we're going to roll for hammers. And let's see. I have a 14 and I rolled a 17. Oh, that's fun. There's one. Zephyr's done. I'm going to roll for evade, which again seems like it's topical. I have a 15 and I rolled a 4. So no, nothing there. And spot hidden. I have a 6. I have a 10. So, all right. I'll take it. That's it.
All right. I'll go next.
All right.
I'm going to go raise, try, raise my evade from a 5 up. Roll a 14. It was the 6. I think I should raise my swimming to 7. Oh, so if I match it, does it go up? If I roll 6 and it's 6, does it go up?
Yes.
Okay, good. Good roll. I got one more roll. I'm going to try and raise my...
All these treasure cards.
God, I didn't think of this. I'm going to try and raise my swords. It's a 14. And I rolled a 12. Didn't make it.
But you were very, very close.
Yes, I was. Still failed.
All right. Well, I will go next. I will go for acrobatics, which is currently an 8. And freaking got a 4. That was helpful.
It's your contortionist now.
Yes. Don't have to be acrobatic to be a contortionist, apparently. I'll go for sneaking, which is a 15. I got a 5. That's going swimmingly today. So speaking of swimming, I'll go for swimming next. Swimming is at a 7. Jesus fucking Christ, I got a 1. Okay.
It is not meant to be.
It's, yep.
It is a time of...
Yes.
All right, so I just have 3 rolls. So I'm gonna, I've got awareness 8. I'm going to try and boost that up. I rolled 15, so I'll take that to 9. Bushcraft, I've got a 4. Really? Oh, I rolled a 20. That goes to 5. And I'm going to try and go for that 18 with my sneaking, so I should have been that roll, but come on. There we go. 9. Nope. All right. So I am still no extra heroic abilities for me. But yeah, that's it. I hope the miserable beast interlude was, weird.
It was weird. I definitely weird.
That is true.
Yeah, I was going to draw it out a little bit longer, but I think, I got the point across.
Did you? I don't know if you got it across. I'm quite certain someone's gonna say, well, there now I need to go with now it's gonna have to think about I need to go further and go in the tent and see what's in the tent and causing the, you know how this goes.
What I was picturing was like it'd be like a random land of rainbows and lollipops and he's just prancing around in a field of daisies, but those daisies in real life were just like small people that he was stomping on. And he thinks he's giving someone a flower, and he's really just stabbing him in the eyeball kind of thing.
It will all make sense eventually.
Yeah, oh, I'm that sure. That's, yeah, right. I mean,
I don't
sure.
think it will.
I'm just, yeah. I do want to check something real quick, guys. As I recall, that there's some of you that were in the smaller caves, moving.
You talking about Tony's slut hole still?
Sliding around? No, I said smaller caves.
That's a hot dog down the hallway.
Hi, this is Matt, the co-host of the Advanced Age Role-Playing Gamers podcast, and you've been listening to our latest actual play, Mirth, Magic, and Mayhem, using the Dragonbane TTRPG from Free League Publishing, based on the classic Swedish role-playing game Drakkar Demoner. If you like what you hear, please follow, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel and anywhere else you find podcasts. We also really appreciate feedback and chatting with folks, so feel free to tweet us, comment on our YouTube, or leave us a review so we can reach even more people. You can also visit our website at www.theaarpgs.com, where you can read more about the cast, listen to old episodes, and even shop our store for cool Geek Chic merchandise. This story features Malcolm and Nathan as co-GMs. Malcolm will also be playing the role of Karin, a halfling bard. Nathan will be playing the role of Brains, a wolfkin thief. Our players for this story are Tyr as Dane Ringson, a human scholar. Sean as Baelor Banefire, a dwarven smith. Chris as Sigyn, an elven huntress. Anthony as Corrigan Stonehammer, a halfling fighter. And Tim as Quiverring, the mallard mage. Character artwork created by Nemesis to Anthony Cupo and friend of the show, Jody P. Schaefer, whose work you may recognize from Metacopolix, Marikari, Megas XLR, and MTV's Downtown. Contact him when the time is right. You'll know how and when. Music licensed through Dark Fantasy Studios and SoundCue. Sound effects by Nathan, using Krotos Weaponizer, Studio, and Dehumanizer, using libraries from Boom Library, SoundCue, Krotos, and his own recordings. So thank you again for taking time to sit down with us at our gaming table. And until next time, remember, you're never too old to roll.